Good morning, and welcome to worship with West End United Methodist Church. My name is Susan Luna Hazelwood, and I serve on the Hospitality Ministries team. We are so glad that you are joining us this morning during this holy season of Lent. Lent is a time of reflection and repentance as we prepare for Easter on April 4th. During our service, you may hear words and songs that allude to this season of 40 days. You will find worship materials in the description section of our live feed, including an order of worship and links to our hymns. We also invite you to light a candle as a sign of Christ's presence with you. We hope that you will experience God's love and grace as we worship today.
Thank you. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It is such a joy to welcome all of you to this time of worship this morning, to have friends in the sanctuary and friends gathered all around our community, beyond our state, and even across the world, gathered together in this moment to worship God. And so I'm grateful for each and every one of you who is here this morning. For those of you who are in the sanctuary, you have already registered your attendance by signing up on the RSVP. For those of you who are gathering with us over live stream, now is a wonderful time for you to let us know that you're worshiping with us. There should be a link appearing on the screen in front of you and alongside in the chat that you can click on to use to let us know that you were here. And all throughout the service, as I mentioned to those in the sanctuary, there's a QR code you can use to get to some of the links to share prayer concerns, to give through the offering, and we'll all be sharing in that learning together. I have just a few announcements for us this morning. First of all, I want to celebrate the ministry of our youth. We have a couple of folks here this morning who participated in the 30-hour famine this weekend. They fasted for 30 hours and held a canned food drive yesterday in the parking lot to help the little pantry that could, and also to help toward world hunger. So we want to celebrate that ministry and thank you for helping lead the congregation in that effort. Next, this Sunday at 4 o'clock, our Evensong service will be taking place over live stream and Facebook, and we invite you to tune in at 4 o'clock and bask in the beautiful music of that service today. You may notice there are some different things up front in the sanctuary. From 11 to 1 every Sunday, we're hosting prayer stations in the sanctuary. It gives an opportunity for folks who might not quite feel comfortable yet gathering with a larger group in the sanctuary to come on your own time, to spend time at different prayer stations. And we wanted to let you know that today at 11:30, Matt Phelps will be playing the organ and offering some musical accompaniment to your prayers. Today we remember the anniversary of the tornado that hit Nashville, and we continue to pray for our neighbors and the recovery efforts that are still happening among our friends in Nashville and beyond, and we'll be praying for those friends a little bit later. We've had other storms and natural disasters in recent weeks in Texas, Louisiana, and Oklahoma, and there should be some announcements in the Friday email and beyond letting you know ways that you can help to support those efforts of recovery. That's it as far as announcement goes. This morning, we are continuing our Lenten journey of resetting. We hear the story of Abram and Sarah, who receive new names from God in our story today, and reminding us that we have opportunities to be renamed and repurposed for God. So let us open ourselves to this beautiful story as we worship all together this morning.
Lent calls us to journey, this and every day, following Jesus wherever he leads. Lent calls us to worship together, to tell future generations the good news. Lent calls us to faithful living, to trust the one who gives us life.
Lent calls us to take up our cross, to trust the one who bears it with us.
Lent calls us to journey with God. God is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. God is near to all who call out in truth, listening to our cries for help and offering salvation. Trusting in these promises, let us confess our sins and seek God's pardon on this Lenten journey. Loving and merciful God, you come to us and make a covenant. Yet we doubt we will see these promises fulfilled. You have called us from the wilderness. You have given us a new name, but we are quick to forget who you are calling us to be. Everlasting Lord, forgive us for the faith we lack. Remind us of your ever-present faithfulness and of your promise to be with us, to love us unconditionally from generation to generation and in every moment in between. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love towards us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Glory to God. Amen. As a forgiven and reconciled people, let us exchange signs of reconciliation and love. On the live stream, you can use the chat or you can text some of your friends or church family here in the sanctuary, wave, elbow bumps, whatever you feel comfortable with. The peace of Christ be with you.
The peace of Christ be with you.
And also with you.
The peace of Christ be with you.
The peace of Christ be with you.
The peace of Christ be with you.
Peace be with you.
Please join me in the prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. A lesson from Genesis, chapter 17, verses 1 through 7, 15, and 16. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless. And I will make my covenant between me and you and will make you exceedingly numerous. Then Abram fell on his face, and God said to him, As for me, this is my covenant with you. You shall be the ancestor of a multitude of nations. No longer shall your name be Abram, but your name shall be Abraham, for I have made you the ancestor of a multitude of nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings shall come from you. I will establish my covenant between you and me, and your offspring after you throughout the generations, for an everlasting covenant, to be God to you and to your offspring after you. God said to Abraham, As for Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. I will bless her, and moreover, I will give you a son by her. I will bless her, and she shall give rise to nations, and kings of peoples shall come from her. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
I want to invite all the children who are at home to move a little closer to your screens. And I want to greet those of you who are here this morning. It's so good to see you. And I know you're smiling behind those masks. Welcome. Glad to see all of you this morning. Names are really important. All of us have a name that our parents gave us when we were born. But sometimes we get nicknames or we get different names as we grow up. My older brother, when I was born, couldn't say Carol, and so he called me Kiwa. And so in my family, and some of my cousins too, call me Kiwa sometimes. But I have some other names too. Here's my church name tag. This has my full name, Carol Cavan Dillon. And then I have this face mask that Katie Minnis helped get for us, and it says West End Pastor. So some people call me Pastor Carol. Over here is one of the prayer stations that some people are going to come and visit later this afternoon, and it's inviting them, whoever comes by, to think about some of the names that you go by and why those names are important and who calls you that name and what it means to you. I think my very favorite name, though, is on this hat that someone from the church gave me. It says, I'm a child of God. So my very most important name is Child of God. And you know what? We all have that name. Let's pray together. Gracious and loving God, we thank you for our names and what they mean in our families, in our circles of friends, in our church, for all those special nicknames that people give us that make us smile and make us feel special. But most of all, we thank you that you call us by name and that each and every one of us is your child. Help us love you as much as you love us, in Jesus' name, amen. Names are really important. They're particularly important in the Bible. Over and over again, we see God giving people new names. We see Jesus changing Simon's name to Peter. And usually with that new name comes a new purpose. And that's what happens in the story today. God gives Abram and Sarah new names. God calls them Abraham and Sarah instead of Abram and Sarai. With that changing of names comes a unique and new kind of relationship and a new purpose. The name Abram means exalted ancestor. The name Abraham means ancestor of multitudes. So God is saying in this new covenant with Abraham that Abraham's name is reflecting his new purpose. He will be the father of many, many nations. We know a little less about Sarah's name and what the original name meant. The name Sarah means princess. So one thought is that Sarai is an archaic version of the name Sarah. And so by changing her name to Sarah, perhaps God is bringing her into a new future, giving her a name that will be accessible beyond her small family, her small tribe, to many, many nations. So it's a moment of name changing. And it's a moment that solidifies God's special relationship with Abraham and Sarah. As I was sharing with the children, sometimes we get names that are given to us by our families or by particular groups of friends that point to a very special relationship. Yesterday, David and I spent a little bit of time with his two sisters, socially distanced outside, wearing our masks, just having a visit together. Anne Elizabeth and Laura are their names, but they're better known in the family as Ming and Ya. And I knew that I was included in the family when I got to start calling them Ming and Ya. And now our kids call them Auntie Ming and Auntie Ya. I think the origin of their names comes from when they were really little and they couldn't pronounce each other's names very well, or there's probably a bigger story there that they would be too embarrassed for me to tell in front of everybody. But in their family, Aunt Elizabeth is Ming and Laura is Ya. Nobody in the working world calls them that. It's particular to that relationship. And that's sort of what we see happening in this story between God and Abraham and Sarah. God is giving them new names as a sign of this covenant with them. They now have a unique and special relationship with God. They have a new name and a new purpose. And one of the things I noticed about this story was that it happens when Abraham is 99 and Sarah is 90. Even at this point in their lives, God does something new with them. They get a new purpose and a new name and are put on a new path. And that says to me, we are never too old. We are never too stuck in our ways to be changed by God and to be invited to do something new with God and to learn something new about ourselves and about God. The truth is, my plan had been really to dig into that in the sermon this morning, to think about how God invites us to stay open, to be changed by God and renamed and repurposed, no matter how long we've held our previous ideas about who we are and about who God is. But then I read a commentary that pointed something out to me that I'd never before noticed in this story. Not only do Abraham and Sarah get new names, but God gets a new name. For the very first time in all of Scripture, God says, "My name is God Almighty, El Shaddai." That name has never appeared before in the Scriptures. It's as if God is saying to Abraham and Sarah, "You call me El Shaddai." This is a special name for Abraham and Sarah. In fact, in Exodus chapter 6, verse 2, God says to Moses, "El Shaddai is the name that I gave to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." It's as if this is a particular nickname that God wants Abraham and Sarah's descendants to use. It points to a special, intimate kind of relationship. This is the fourth name for God that's already appeared in Genesis. We have Elohim in the creation story, Yahweh in chapter 4, and then in chapter 16, Hagar, who had been enslaved by Abraham and Sarah, is in the wilderness alone by herself. God comes to her and she names God. She gives God her own special name, El Roy. There's so much to unpack in this one fact in this story, that God is a God of many names. And that God's name can be special depending on the relationship. There's no one name that captures all of who God is and that locks God down for all time. In fact, perhaps the most powerful and well-known story we have about God's name is God's conversation with Moses. When God speaks to Moses out of the burning bush and Moses says, "Tell me your name." You know what God says? "I am who I am." Or even more, "I will be who I will be." God is not a God who will be contained by one name, one title, one group, one moment in history. God will be who God will be. And yet at the same time, God offers God's self in loving, intimate relationship. We see that in this moment with Abraham and Sarah. "Call me El Shaddai. To you, I will be El Shaddai. I will be your God, and you will be my people, and we will have this special covenant together so that you will be a blessing that will bless all the nations of the earth." So God, in some ways, refuses to be fully named and contained, and yet is also willing to be named in loving relationship with us. So what names do you use for God? We see Jesus in the New Testament most often calling God Father, Abba, which is a name like Dad or Daddy, showing this intimate, loving relationship between Jesus and God. And when Jesus prays, it is most often to Father. And that is the name and a title for God that works for so many of us, that conjures up that intimate, loving, safe relationship that we long for with God. But that's also a name that doesn't work for everyone for various reasons. And each of us goes and seeks out that name for God that speaks to the intimacy, the love, the safety, the vastness of God. Whatever name comes most frequently from our lips in prayer to God, this story also reminds us that we must have the humility to know it's not God's only name. And we're not the only ones who own this name for God. That God is a God of many names. God will be who God will be. So that even in our old age, we give God the freedom to stretch our understanding of who God is, to change us and give us new purpose and new names. I was thinking this week about a group of women who sat on the second pew at Hobson United Methodist Church. When I was first in ministry working at Brentwood United Methodist Church, we had a partnership with Hobson. Hobson was in East Nashville, and this was a time when East Nashville was not thriving as it is today. Back in the 50s, Hobson had been a church that had 1,000 people in worship. It was a predominantly white area, very affluent area of town. And over the years, because of so many policies and segregation, the neighborhood had changed and there was more and more poverty and more racial diversity. And so a lot of the members had left, moved to the suburbs. And the church had nearly died. It had dwindled down to about 13 people. And there were three or four older women who stayed at the church and stayed in the neighborhood. And they began to welcome the new people of the neighborhood into the church. And I remember talking with one of them one afternoon. I had been invited to preach there. And over lunch, I was asking her what that journey had been like. And she said, you know, at first, I was really uncomfortable. I didn't like it. We had to learn to sing different kinds of songs. Our worship service changed a lot. And I just wasn't sure that I was comfortable with it. But I'm so glad I stayed. Because I've learned so much about God and about all the different ways that God is working in people's lives. And I've learned to love to stand up and sing and shout and clap my hands and say amen when the preacher says something I like. I was so moved by her willingness to learn God in a new way and to receive a new purpose and a new understanding in her own life that ended up blessing her and blessing that congregation and blessing that whole neighborhood. So the question, the invitation that comes to us in this story, it comes to me at least, is God is inviting us into this covenant with God, a loving, intimate relationship with God, with the understanding that God will be who God will be, and we're not in control of where the path leads, and we're not in control of God's name or God's purposes. Are we willing, along with Abraham and Sarah and all of the generations that have gone before us, to be renamed by God? Are we willing to go on the journey with God, who will be who God will be? Amen.
I invite you to rise as you are able as we affirm our faith together. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus, crucified and risen, our judge and our hope, in life, in death, in life beyond death. God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen. You may be seated. As we come to our prayer time, I invite you to lift up both your silent and your spoken prayers. If you would like to share them with the pastoral team to pray throughout this week, you can follow the link under Contact Us on our website. Those of you that are here with us today can check your QR code and leave a prayer request for us in that way. I'll give you a moment to do that because I left my prayer in my seat. Are with Chris Harness Gerald and her family as they mourn the death of her mother, Merrill Wally, who passed away on February 15th in Mobile, Alabama. Our prayers are also with Matt, Colleen, and Noah Phelps as they mourn the loss of Matt's grandmother, Lois Knoll, who passed away on February 21st in Cincinnati, Ohio. We also lift up Jan Turrentine and family This mourns the death of her father, Russell Turrentine, who passed away on February 22nd in Alexandria, Louisiana. And we also lift up the family and those who worked at Discipleship Ministries with Reverend Junius Dotson, who was head of Discipleship Ministries. Reverend Dotson passed away on February 24th of pancreatic cancer. And now join with me as we pray. The Lord be with you. O divine mystery, God who sees us, God who is with us, God Almighty, God who walks next to us in the journey, you call us by name. You call us child to be a blessing among all the nations to all of your children. Yet we have struggled for generations to truly love our siblings around the world in the way that we have been called. Today we ask that your presence be with those who have been affected by military violence and unrest around the world. We pray for peace. God, we ask for renewed courage and diligence as we approach a full year of pandemic protocols. And yet a year later, we still pray for many of the same things. The medical workers who sacrifice their time and their energy to take care of us and those that we love. For the scientists who have worked diligently to find vaccines and administer them. For those who are sick with the pandemic virus, as well as those who are sick in other ways, and the family of those who are sick. And also the populations and demographics that are much harder hit by cases of COVID-19, we pray for them. We pray for the families who've lost their loved ones. We pray and thank you for those stock persons at the store and teachers and all of those who have stepped up and take risks every day so that we can experience life as close to normal as we can. We thank you for the vaccine and its distribution. We ask that your comforting spirit be with those still impacted by job loss, unemployment, and reduced hours as bills continue to arrive. God, we pray for those in Texas and all the other areas that are dealing with multi-layered struggles as a result of natural disasters. Remind us, O God, to be aware. After hearing of so much loss, so many tragic scenarios and numbers larger than our minds can comprehend, we can feel numb. Give us grace for the intense things that we feel, and for the things that are too big to feel just yet. May we listen to you, O God, as you call to us by name during this Lenten reset. And this day we ask that you be with all of our siblings around the world, and may we honor the sacredness in each of them as we honor the sacredness of you. Fill us with your loving grace, O Heavenly Parent, as we lift up together this prayer that was taught to us by Jesus. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And now as we come to the part of our service where we give of our tithes and our offerings, we recognize that the pandemic has affected everyone differently. If you are unstable or unable to give at this time, we understand. But if you are in a position to give or to give more than usual, we encourage you to do so. This will help us continue our vital ministries in this community and throughout the world. For those of you worshiping with us online, you are welcome to give via the options listed on the screen. And for those of you who are with us in person, there are offering boxes in the narthex at the back of the sanctuary where you can leave your offering following the service, or you can use the QR code to give online. As we give our tithes and our offerings this morning, let us also offer our hearts to our loving God.
the God who goes before us is a God of many names, a God who will be who God will be, ready to lead us on a journey to newness. At the same time, this God reaches out to hold our hands. So let us grip tightly to the hand of our God and step out with confidence into God's future, knowing that we are God's people. Amen.